This is WFYI HD2 Indianapolis, The Point.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Hello, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point, WFYI.org. Show is also available as a podcast. If you have a comment or a question, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Working the board is a gentleman who wished he could have played percussion with Curtis Mayfield, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
Oh, hi, Kobe.
Hi, Matt.
Sitting in with us, rested. July was apparently a blur for her, but she is back refreshed, ready, and actually seeing films that aren't in consideration from the Indianapolis International Film Festival. Lisa Trifone is back. Hello, dear.
Hi.
Thank you for sitting in.
Thank you for having me.
And give my best to the rest of the gang.
Absolutely. We're all recovered.
Yes. And she's actually seeing other things and sitting in. So we'll, later on in the show, the introduction of a new segment coined by my producer with the segment called What's Kobe Watching?
That's right.
And we'll break that down in a little bit. Well, and happy Fringe to everybody. Fringe weekend is happening right now. Actually, the Socies. A.K.A. Lynn, Emma, myself, A.K.A. the Paltrows. We're going to go see Without a Peep after the program is over. Hopefully you will as well. And congratulations to Indie Fringe and my friend Leah DeWalt, who I got to direct in Three Bags Full. She's one of the ladies that had been on every newspaper cover in the last 2 weeks. Not since Springsteen made the cover of Time and Newsweek in the same week as one production made it on the Nouveau and the Not Nouveau. I'm sorry, the daily paper that's not Nouveau, as opposed to the weekly paper that's not Nouveau. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, opening in theaters this weekend. Mark your calendars, mark your times. Get Low, the Canadian comedy drama with Robert Duvall, Bill Murray, Sissy Spacek. We have Lottery Ticket with Bow Wow and Loretta Devine and Ice Cube.
Wait a minute.
What?
Bow Wow.
Yes, the rap.
Okay.
Used to be Little, and now he's not Little anymore.
He's not Little.
So he got rid of it.
Yeah.
And then,
his friends call him Bow.
Well, I think eventually he'll graduate to BW, I think, when it's all said and done. Nanny McPhee returns, a film with Emma Thompson and Maggie Gyllenhaal, and not the film I had in mind, if I had those two. And Piranha 3D, because nobody apparently remembers the late 70s Jaws ripoff that was written by John Sayles, which is a lot of fun. But this is in 3D. And I will say this about Piranha. Full disclosure, they didn't screen it for the press, and that's okay. Well, maybe we'll see it later. But I love a beach community that elects Elizabeth Shue as sheriff. I think that's pretty cool. Not since Sheriff Kerry Werder in Eight-Legged Freaks has there been a combination of toughness and beauty in law enforcement.
Eight-Legged Freaks.
Oh, it was a bad film. Bad film. And, and it was a bad film even before David Arquette showed up. I just don't get him. Okay, but... Oh, and Vampires Suck, another film not screened for the press, from the people that made fill-in-the-blank movie, and fill-in-the-blank movie, and epic movie, and scary... Yeah, all those. Guess what? They're making fun of Twilight, even though Twilight kind of makes fun of itself. All right, let's move on to something that I actually did see this weekend. Yes, the Switch. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now at the height, at the renaissance of the artificial insemination comedies. I think J-Lo had one earlier this year that nobody saw. And this one stars Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston, Juliette Lewis, Jeff Goldblum, Patrick Wilson, and little Thomas Robinson, who we don't know because he's done one other credit. I think he was in an episode of Heroes and he's the kid in this. But listen to this, and then we'll break it down.
I would like you to be the first to know I'm having a baby.
You're pregnant?
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
A party for insemination?
Only Cassie would do it like this.
I'm Roland, the donor.
Well, I'm Cassie's best friend.
Oh, that's okay.
What's wrong with my spam, by the way?
You're a little neurotic.
You had your window with Cassie, and you doomed it. She put you in the friend zone.
So who does this?
Will you relax? This is how everybody's doing it these days.
Shouldn't that be cleaned or something?
I'm messing with you.
Debbie, knock that off.
Molly, I hate it when you drink.
Yeah.
You lose total control.
You were so drunk last night.
I don't remember any of that.
Guess what? We are moving back to New York.
Sweet, this is Uncle Wally.
Hi.
Hi, Sebastian. I think I have cyclothymic disorder.
Okay, was I not clear about WebMD?
There's the similarities and coincidences.
He looks just like you.
You don't think that I could have switched Roland's ingredient for my...
I
hijacked Cassie's pregnancy?
Oh, that's... ill-advised.
I think the first order of business is telling Cassie.
I need to talk to you.
What is he doing?
I'm scared.
I got this.
Roland's here.
Come on, be nice.
It's like a nightmare. He wants me to give him advice on how to be a better father to my son. I think that this guy is a mistake.
Would you please not Wally this into a situation?
Hang on. Did you just use my name as a verb?
Yeah, I did.
We've been beating each other's lines for a very long time.
Why, Uncle Wally?
Because, you know,
Oh, jeez.
She's the light of my life. She's my soulmate.
I think that I have feelings for her.
Really? You think so? It's only been, 13 years.
Open the door right now. Remind you of anybody?
I have had my bouts with hypochondria.
What's that?
Thinking that you have diseases that you don't really have.
Oh, my God. I have that.
Congratulations. You're a father.
This film was directed by the team of Josh Gordon and Will Speck, who combined to give us Blades of Glory. I know.
I wanted to see that, but I missed it.
You didn't miss much.
I can't. I don't like John Heder, though.
Why? Well, he can't carry a film anymore. He only carried one.
I didn't like that one.
You didn't like Napoleon Dynamite?
No.
You're of age.
I don't care.
Wow. I'm older than you, and I enjoyed it.
I like the part where he throws the steak.
Don't you wish you could do that to people? Don't you wish if you saw somebody on a bike that you didn't like, then you just want to fling, because you couldn't fling it over the mountain.
Give me that steak.
And you hit him on a steak. So anyway, we'll go back to we'll get to that in a little bit, Mr. Slagle. That's really okay. I had a debate with my wife earlier today because I tend to use the phrase psychotic romantic comedies. Films like How Do You... I got the look from Lisa.
That's pretty intense.
Well, My Best Friend's Wedding, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Little Black Book, Failure to Launch, all qualify. Because if normal-looking people acted the way those people act in that film, you'd need a restraining order. But because it's good-looking people and it has a light, frothy soundtrack, it's a rom-com, romantic comedy.
I think you're onto something.
I've been onto something my whole life, sir. But yes, thank you. Yeah, and then this one, now the backstory is, as you've heard a little bit, the Jason Bateman character and Jennifer Aniston character were a couple, then they became friends, and yeah, she's going to get artificially inseminated, because that's what career women who are pushing 30 or 40 do, apparently, like J-Lo did earlier this year in a film that nobody saw, Backup Plan. And yeah, artificial insemination parties. I didn't know there were birthing parties. Have you ever been to one, Lisa?
No.
Have you ever heard of anybody going
Never.
To one? I don't. Maybe it's a New York thing. I don't know. But they don't. Or maybe it's a Juliette Lewis thing because she organizes the party. But yes, he spills and how he got to the other, as they call it in the film, ingredient is a long, odd story. But, yeah.
So is it Bateman who's the psychotic one in this then? Are roles slightly reversed?
No, I think it is in this one that you don't fess up right away. Now, granted, he doesn't, in the film, he's drinking.
Because all the ones you named previously, it's the woman who's portrayed as going a little crazy.
I will say Matthew McConaughey is equally guilty in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Equally guilty, no matter how dashing he is. And he's kind of the one in Failure to Launch. I mean, he dumps women.
I've never spent 2 hours of my life on that film.
That's really okay. That's really okay. I did. So trust me this one.
How do you feel about Fool's Gold?
Can I finish the review and then I'll get to your questions? Wow. Anyway, so yeah, this is kind of a Bateman, and apparently this we have broad range ideas as far as DNA, because yes, the kid is neurotic and acts a lot like Bateman and talks a little bit like Bateman, because it's not sperm, it's a copier.
Right.
It's like going to Kinko's as opposed to creating another human being. And Patrick Wilson, of course, is the perfect all male. We think he's the one that's supposed to, in bring the seed, so to speak. And it's just, all of it just rings false. I know it's a romantic comedy, but it just seems a little bit icky that a best friend who you used to have a fling with, and then I think the word is sabotage the birth, sabotage the pregnancy. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if Cassavetes made a drama out of this as opposed to these guys making a comedy out of it. There's one scene with the Bateman character, and he bonds with the young boy played by Thomas Robinson. And Thomas Robinson is one of these movie kids where, yeah, he knows about medical diseases, but he doesn't know what a hypochondriac is. So it's this kind of selective intelligence that he has. So he won't eat duck and he won't eat this. But there's a really nice bonding scene when he gets lice at school, and the Bateman character kind of takes care of him and de-lices everything. And that's really the only redeeming factor. You have the sassy best friend, that's Juliette Lewis. You have the persnickety boss, that's Jeff Goldblum. And guess what? Things are eventually found out. I don't think I'm putting a spoiler alert on this. This isn't Inception or LA Confidential, for that matter. But yeah, it just didn't do anything for me. And just, wow, our turkey baster jokes. That's the height of humor.
That's actually the question I had for you, is how glad are you that they changed the title? I mean, this is a film we've been hearing about since about 2008, I think.
Yeah.
With its original sort of...
Which was?
The Baster. It was originally titled The Baster.
You can't.
And the
no.
story, the tagline was Jennifer Aniston in this artificial insemination rom-com.
Yeah.
And that wonder of wonders, they figured out that probably wouldn't fly.
No.
So they went with The Switch.
Yeah, well, that's slightly better. Although I still think of the Ellen Barkin, Jimmy Smits film from the late 80s. Neither one of you know that, and that's really okay. Or the 70s series with Eddie Albert. I'm sorry, I'm very, very old. So, yeah, I guess some people might find this more amusing than me, and that's really okay.
Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off!
Okay, Fool's Gold. Now, Fool's Gold was less bitchy than How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Am I wrong? That was just kind of a no-brainer. I'm like, okay, you're going to go to the Caribbean and watch, at the very least, you're going to watch Kate Hudson in a bathing suit and Matthew McConaughey without a shirt on, for 2 hours.
Right.
And they're not as.
He's not my type.
Not your type?
He's not my type. I'd rather watch Jason Bateman for 2 hours.
Really? Shirtless and Fool's Gold?
I, again, never caught Fool's Gold.
And that's really okay. Would you, all right, I'll say,
mom
despite
like
your mom and dad did?
Mom and dad love Fool's Gold.
Why?
It's the whole Caribbean thing.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of and as an actor that's a no brainer. I mean you how do you turn that gig down?
Yeah.
So I guess now despite my reviews, are you gonna go see this film?
I might Netflix it.
Ah, okay.
I might Netflix it.
All right. So yeah.
I would still see it, but I've always been on team Aniston with the whole
What was the Onion headline? Jennifer Aniston adopts 33-year-old African boyfriend. She needs to do another
but
good girl.
I don't think I'm running out to the theater.
No.
Knocking down doors to see this one.
Okay.
Okay, riddle me this, Matt.
Yes, Frank Gorshin.
fever pitch.
Oh God, the Drew Barrymore, Jimmy Fallon, where nobody knows anything about baseball in that film, and even though the novel is originally English soccer,
yeah.
I don't need that. No,
not a fan.
Not a fan. Okay. And you know what? And I'm not even a Red Sox fan, but do you know how bad it felt that they stained a slight bit of the Red Sox winning the World Series so they could run out onto the Fenway Park and shoot a moment in that movie?
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Nobody knows anything about baseball in that film, and Jimmy Fallon's just irritating. I'm glad he's got a talk show that's on at 12:30. But at least he's not cracking up mid scene with Horatio Sanz, you know, like every week he did on Saturday Night Live.
The boy who could not keep a
straight face. Would you like to ask some more, sir? I'm full of them.
I like Fever Pitch.
Okay, that's fine. Tell me why.
I saw it in theaters.
Right.
I don't know. It's the cutesy rom-com thing, and I don't know, kind of renewed interest in sports.
Okay.
Seeing that movie.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You a Red Sox guy?
No.
That's right, you're a Marlins guy.
Marlins guy.
You have a Marlins pennant in your office, sir.
That is true.
That is true.
A Marlins and an Indians pennant. It's going to be.
Speaking of Onion headlines, Florida Marlins delay games so fans can show up.
Yeah.
Oh,
I knew you would appreciate
that.
Nobody
would choke.
Thank you, Shaq. All right, couple other film notes before I get random titles thrown at me by my producer and my lovely guest, which is fine. Couple other notes. Tonight, if you don't have any plans or if you're not going to go to the Fringe, it's okay. At the IMA, as part of their Summer Night series, the film that should have won Best Picture in 1997, L.A. Confidential, directed by Curtis Hanson with Kim Basinger won an Oscar for this. Wow. Been a long time. Russell Crowe, Guy Pearce, James Cromwell, Kevin Spacey, and yes, Kim Basinger. One of the best film noirs, one of the best detective stories to come out in the last almost 20 years. Really, really enjoyed that, about two detectives who go deeper and deeper into corruption in Los Angeles in the 40s.
They had a great selection this year. I'd like to give a shout out to the IMA.
Yes, absolutely.
They had a great selection on their summer nights.
So, and it's only going to get better, and hopefully, you know, we can organize more screenings. They turned out my idea of Scream Blackula Scream, but we'll try that next summer. Now, also at select theaters, you go to rifftracks.com for this. Now, here at Film Sociology, I am pro Rifftracks. Of course, Rifftracks are three of the gentlemen from Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's the same shtick without the robots. And on Tuesday, they're rifftraxing the 30s classic Reefer Madness. You've seen it?
I have actually heard that they're doing this. And the trailer, if you jump online to catch the trailer,
which I highly recommend,
there's a clip of the guys riffing on it.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Like the 30 seconds that are online.
First off, one of the funniest, unintentionally funny films to come out in the 20th century, a, you know, 30s anti-pot film that, according to this movie, you know, you'll get addicted to heroin, you'll kill, you'll jump out of windows, you'll play jazz piano faster than you've ever played it before in your life, and lead you down a deep, dark, dark place of crime and death and sadness. It's hilarious. No, I'm not taking Emma to this. We watched the Rifftracks version of Plan 9 and the Christmas special, but I don't think HW, or the kids' film correspondent, who'll be sitting in later, so don't ask her about this. But but no, I don't think she's ready for 30s anti-pot films. It's a must-watch. It's very fun. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're going to bring the kids' film correspondent in, and then we're going to talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know what I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open a video store.
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Show is also available as a podcast. Special hello to those listening in New York City. Thank you for, I wish it was commissioned, Kobe, but it's not. So, that's msoci at WFYI.org. Kobe Slagle working the board. Lisa Trifone from the IIFF is sitting in. And film sociology kid film correspondent Emma Soci will be here in just a moment to recap a little bit of the summer and a film that is out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. No, not Furry Vengeance. It is, but we didn't get to it. But the resurgence of the film career of one Miley Cyrus. She is no longer doing Hannah Montana. She is now in a film called The Last Song, which came out this spring, and now it's on DVD and Blu-ray, from a novel by Nicholas Sparks. So expect gorgeous scenery and gorgeous people of all ages, shapes, colors, and what have you, and lots of plot lines. Give this a listen.
Dear Ronnie, please know that none of what happened between your mother and me had anything to do with you. I hope this summer will give us a chance to reconnect.
Yeah! Joe boy.
You live on the beach? That is awesome!
How's she doing otherwise?
You heard she got into Juilliard, right?
No.
She says she's not going.
Look, we got bacon here. We got breakfast.
Vegetarian, Dad.
Since when?
For a year and a half. It's ridiculous. Do you and Mom ever think about getting back together?
Mom's about to get married.
So? You have dibs. You marry her first.
Well, the word is you're from New York. So what are you doing down here?
My mom shipped me and my brother to my dad's for the summer.
We'd better maintain visual contact.
Your sister just got kissed. It's all over her face.
No, it's not.
She got kissed. Hey, she was kissed. Take a good
one. No, no.
Beautiful melody. When the night's so low.
When did you become so mellow?
As soon as I got out of New York City. No one has made me feel like you do, Ronnie.
We make mistakes. We're not perfect, any of us.
I'd probably talk about this with a girlfriend if I had one here, but I don't.
Oh, do you want to talk?
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Sometimes you have to be apart from people you love. But that doesn't mean you love them any less. Sometimes it even makes you love them more.
Stop smiling like that. It's creeping me out.
My smile creepy?
Let's see it. Kind of.
Okay, Miley Cyrus's parents, because I love cinematic gene pools, are Greg Kinnear and Kelly Preston. That's not bad. Not too bad at all. All right, now, sitting in studio with us, just fresh out of starting the third grade this week, film sociology kids film correspondent Emma Soci. Welcome back, sweetheart.
Hello.
Now, I remember you and I went and saw The Last Song opening day, because it's all about opening day dollars at the box office, folks. And I was curious to see if you wanted to see this because it was Miley not doing Hannah Montana. So this was an interesting step for you. Emma, what did you enjoy watching The Last Song?
Yes, I did.
And what did you like about it?
I like that
it did, for once, that it's a kids' movie that it's not just her doing Hannah Montana.
Okay, kids' movie? I would say, if you don't mind me saying it, I think this is probably a little, maybe a little older.
Well, yeah.
I'd say maybe tweens. I mean, you act like a tween. But and you have tween, you have a tween soul. Actually, you have a very old soul, sweetie. But anyway, but I think you were a little young. But you, this was a stepping stone for her. And do you think she pulled it off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is there a particular scene that you remember fondly?
The one that I remember the most, that I like the most, is when the boy is swimming in the aquarium.
Ah, yes, that's hunky Liam Hemsworth for those people taking score. I don't know who he is. But yes, it's the, you know, they meet, and guess what? They don't like each other at the beginning, so you know how that's eventually going to
wind. Come around?
I know, it's like Much Ado About Nothing, only not Shakespeare. And they wind up mutually having a love for sea animals, especially sea turtles, because he works at the aquarium, right? And they take care of the eggs. So despite, and you recommend this film, Emma, despite there being some scenes of intense kissing.
Yeah.
But you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're a stronger person for seeing this.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Shakespeare with kissing, so I'm fine.
You're fine? Okay, that's good to know. So, is this something that maybe we should rent or, gosh, even put on your wish list for birthday or Christmas?
Wish list.
Wish list for birthday or Christmas? So you're going to make me buy this film, is that it?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, Emma, thank you for your 2 cents, and, you know, go take a rest. You deserve it. You've done a lot of work today.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, kids film correspondent on film sociology, Emma Soci.
That's a sweet title.
It is a very sweet title. She wants business cards now. Thank you, Lisa. We'll talk about my review as soon as the door closes. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for those who are male or older, and by the way, me sitting through this, yeah, I'm not seeing. Well, Kobe, first, it helps that I have her with me, because I don't want to say I'm a Miley Cyrus fan, because that sounds a little creepy coming from the 40-year-old guy. But this is, of course, based on a novel by Nicholas Sparks, who's given us, and yes, I have seen both films based on Nicholas Sparks novels this year. I saw Dear John and this. I'm so proud. And, of course, it's given us the
I have yet to see a Nicholas Sparks.
Really?
Example.
You didn't miss Message in a Bottle, Nights at Rodanthe, The Notebook. You've missed all of those, huh?
I refuse.
On what grounds?
Because
they're really weepy and melodramatic?
Because they're really weepy and melodramatic, and I don't know if it's... I don't know. I just... There's something lacking, something hugely lacking.
I see. Like depth?
Right. That's a good start. Let's start there.
I'll give Miley Cyrus a little bit of credit. Apparently she has admitted that she needs to take acting lessons.
Couldn't hurt.
No, it wouldn't hurt. It would not hurt this. And this is what I call a necessary step. This reminds me, and yeah, I actually saw this too, when Zac Efron did 17 again. You know, she's getting away from the Disney bubble. And, you know, just like he did with 17 again, and then he did me and Orson Welles, and then he did Charlie St. Cloud, which nobody under the age of 30 saw ever, and maybe 20 for that matter. But it's amusing to watch Miley wear all black and have a nose ring and wear boots and be brooding on the beach, because she's a very sullen young lady, and, you know, could go to music school but doesn't. And
I'm sure she has really huge problems.
She's got major problems.
Yeah.
You know, the hunky guy who really likes her, even though he may or may not be the man that he seems. And I think there's the Onion who referred to him as the overqualified Greg Kinnear, is, you know, the token big name actor who, by the way, he coughs at the first reel. Sorry to spoil that for you folks. But the thing about this one compared to the other Nicholas Sparks novel, this thing has more plot lines than like an Altman film, because there's the backstory on the boy, and there's the backstory on Greg Kinnear's character. Did he or didn't he set fire to a church? And then there's, you know, is Miley going to stay with the boy, and is the father going to live, and is she going to write the last song which you heard in the trailer, which is now available at your local soundtrack or iTunes? It's just so much for what is really kind of a weepy tween drama.
Yeah.
So, and we're not any of those. So here's, there you go. But Emma liked it, and that's really all that matters in my house. Go ahead.
I think it's overrated.
Shut up, you!
I don't know if it's overrated, but it's just kind of borderline. Yeah.
Well, it's one of those that obviously finds an audience.
Yes, it's just nobody in the studio.
No one in this room.
Nobody in this room.
And that's fine.
That's quite all right. All right.
I'm okay with that.
I know. We will. Okay, a few other notes of film. Yeah, Furry Vengeance is on DVD. It's Brendan Fraser versus animals, and it's, I think, less people saw this than Journey to the Center of the Earth. The Korean epic The Good, the Bad, and the Weird. Because I wanted to say that title, and that's almost a through line to the next segment. We'll get there. We will get there.
Oh, I was wondering if you were gonna.
I was gonna what?
Keep going.
No, that's all right. Orlando, I think the Tilda Swinton film that introduced a lot of people on Blu-ray. If somebody would send me this, I would love to have this. Oh, I don't want to buy it again unless it has lots of special features. The 1996 four hour production of Kenneth Branagh's film version of Hamlet.
Nice.
Love that, and it has a special place in my heart because it's the only time I've ever bought tickets over the phone. 1996. I'm not, to quote Dennis Miller before he went crazy post 9/11. I've never been on the phone this long with friends contemplating suicide. And I saw it in Chicago with my now wife. And I mean, I've been to rock concerts that were easier to get into and out of. I mean, people were leaping over seats, saving them. The only thing missing, you know, there was cheering when the lights went down. The only thing missing was a beach ball, you know, being batted out throughout the theater. It was a major, major event. And yes, for a brief period, I thought all of Shakespeare's plays needed to be filmed in its entirety. No, they don't. That's really okay. And it has the second most beautiful Gertrude ever, Julie Christie. The first one, of course, Lynn Perkins. And finally, because The Onion had the poster picture in their DVD Blu-ray release list, say that three times fast, the Insane Clown Posse Western Comedy Big Money Rustlers.
Yes.
Yeah, Rustlas.
Is there an apostrophe? S apostrophe?
No, apostrophes are for book learners, sir. We don't do your apostrophes and your proper spelling and...
Fine.
Listen, college graduate.
Fine.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't do it, so... Yeah, so it's kind of a... Except for maybe Hamlet, just kind of a weak. Slim pickings as far as DVD and Blu-ray. So, we are going to take a short break. And then we're going to get into a new segment that my producer is very excited about. We're going to catch up on a couple of films that Lisa Trifone have seen recently and a little musical tribute to a singer, actress, a little bit of both, and I just want to play it. So you're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Crown with scarlet, purple hair.
That's jazz singer Abby Lincoln. And why am I playing around film sociology? Well, I'm the bloody host, that's why. No, welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. I'm Matthew Sozzi, along with Kobe Slagle, producer, and Lisa Trifone, guest from the Indianapolis International Film Festival. I'm playing Abby Lincoln, jazz singer who died this past last weekend, I should say. Fine jazz singer, as you can hear. But she did a little bit of acting. She appeared in some TV movies and some television programs. But she made three significant films of note, at least in my world, they are. She starred in the 1964 drama Nothing But a Man, which I actually bought on DVD earlier this summer. She plays a preacher's daughter who falls in love with a blue-collar rail worker played by Ivan Dixon, for you fans of Hogan's Heroes and Car Wash. And this was a 1964 independent film addressing a serious story with African Americans. Just two people falling in love and trying to make a go at it, and trying to deal with each other's past and each other's ups and downs. And it was kind of a mature film for that time. This is 64. I mean, Sidney Poitier wasn't making films like this. And speaking of Poitier, in 1968, she appeared in the Sidney Poitier comedy For Love of Ivy. She plays the maid of a rich family, as opposed to a maid of a poor family, who the teenage kids decide to match her up with an entrepreneur, played by one Mr. Poitier. The children in the show, the teenagers, I should say, were, this is 1968, were a very young Beau Bridges and Laurie Peters. Now, Laurie Peters was a singer-actress whose only other film credit, and I know this because I own the film and we watched it a couple weeks ago because it's the end of the summer, the 60s Cliff Richard musical Summer Holiday. And I'll talk more about Cliff Richard at a much later date. And then in 1990, she played Denzel Washington's mother in Spike Lee's Mo Betta Blues. So, Abby Lincoln, thank you so much for your music and the three films that you appeared in. And yes, I did find a song I can play on the Blues House Party tomorrow night featuring Abby Lincoln. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I said last week and before, we have a new segment that we're going to try out here on the show. This is the brainchild of my producer, Kobe Slagle. And well, he's very excited because he's got the intro already. And this spawned from a show a few weeks ago that I kind of pleasantly, friendly-wise, blew my gasket. And I'm just looking out for him. So, Kobe, why don't you go ahead and set this up, sir?
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
Okay, this I'll let you set it up, Kobe. How did this segment come about? Because
I don't watch a lot of movies.
You're a producer on a film show.
There's a reason I'm on this side of the board. I don't know a lot about movies. I don't know a lot. I don't know actors, actresses,
right?
Things of that nature. Geared toward people in my situation to learn about.
Okay, and this happened because I kind of had a Lewis Black level aneurysm when I heard.
Yeah, what was the tipping point? What was the one movie that you said I've never seen it?
No, it wasn't that. It was a phrase. It was a genre,
yes,
that
spaghetti western.
He's never heard the phrase spaghetti westerns. Now, Lisa, I know you've heard spaghetti westerns.
I have heard.
Thank you,
because
that way, the vein in my forehead won't pop. I was stunned. I was stunned because you are a 20-something male, and spaghetti westerns are manly films for manly men, and of course they were done in the 60s and 70s. So, call me crazy. So anyway, I thought, okay, I will introduce to Mr. Slagle spaghetti westerns. Now, a little background history. Spaghetti westerns were mostly shot in Italy and in some cases Spain, and they were westerns that were supposed to be set in the American West, and it would always be a mixture. It would be a Spanish production, Italian production, German production, American production, and you would have Spanish, Italian, German actors. That's weird music from Ocean's 11, right? The remake?
Yes.
Very good. And you would have these, you know, Italy stood for the, and Spain at times stood for, looked a lot like the American Southwest. And you just had these kind of very grim, dark westerns. These were not the black hat, white hat kind of John Wayne movies of the 40s and 50s that we grew up on. They were, some would say, the birth of the antihero with the Sergio Leone films. Now, Sergio Leone in 1964 made A Fistful of Dollars with a young TV actor who was in a show called Rawhide named Clint Eastwood. He played Rowdy Yates in Rawhide and was taking the summer off and got a chance to make a film in Italy. And the film went huge in Europe and 2 years later became huge in the United States. And Eastwood became a huge star globally. They made For a Few Dollars More, the sequel with Clint Eastwood and Lee Van Cleef. By the way, Klaus Kinski has a small role in this one as well. And then in 1966, later I think released in the United States in 1968, many say his masterpiece, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, with Clint Eastwood, Lee Van Cleef, and the brilliant Eli Wallach. He would also, Leone would also make A Fistful of Dynamite, also known as Duck You Sucker, with Rod Steiger and James Coburn. He also made Once Upon a Time in the West, his follow-up, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, with Charles Bronson, Henry Fonda, Jason Robards, the visually stunning Claudia Cardinale. And then he made a non-spaghetti western in 1984, Once Upon a Time in America. So, Mr. Slagle, I have in my hot little hand, and if somebody has this on Blu-ray, you can mail it to me, the Sergio Leone Anthology, A Fistful of Dollars, For a Few Dollars More, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and Duck, You Sucker. Sir, here is awesome. Your homework assignment
awesome,
for next
awesome,
week.
Awesome.
Now, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to tell you to watch all four,
okay.
But I can say one thing and, you know, wish for one in one hand and, you know, do something else in the other. But if you can do those in chronological order, that would be great. If it's time, if you're stressed for time, start with The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Okay.
But seeing the seeing the evolution of the spaghetti western is pretty sweet in that. And
it's
then,
like watching a movie lover being born. It's like happening right in front of us.
It's nurturing with no
right.
artificial insemination.
I feel like there should have been more ceremony going on there, the passing of the anthology.
I did. I just handed it to him. There's no turkey baster
where
involved.
Where was the music
for
it? Where was the? Where
it's
was
it's
the,
being played right now.
Are you hear that?
He wants the funky lounge music.
Oh, I guess I just meant some kind of like trumpets blaring of.
Well,
you know,
pomp and circumstance.
Oh,
no, you do it. Okay.
I just did.
Okay, you just did. So, okay. Lisa, do you have any 2 cents on the spaghetti westerns?
You know, only that it's I always have my grandmother to thank for getting me into movies, and the only thing that my grandpa would watch were Clint Eastwood movies.
Yes.
So, you know, I've got a special spot for him myself.
No, that's very cool. That was these were the westerns I grew up on because yeah, by the 70s, John Wayne was getting old and frail, and there was just something a little more dark and mysterious and dangerous about Clint Eastwood's. Even when he started making westerns in the United States, films like Joe Kidd, Hang 'Em High, obviously even for me even better, High Plains Drifter, The Outlaw Josie Wales, his masterpiece Unforgiven, Pale Rider, pretty good as well. When I was a senior in college at the Ball State University. Thank you, Dr. Wes Gehring, my film professor in the telecommunications department. But I was a senior the summer that Unforgiven came out, and I wrote a paper about Clint Eastwood westerns. So, yeah, it's one of the best things I've ever written, not published in Nouveau. So we have that. But there's directors like Sergio Carbucci, who made Navajo Joe with Burt Reynolds. There's Ace High with Eli Wallach. There's also the Django series, which starred Franco Nero, a.k.a. the old guy from Letters to Juliet. And many, many others out there. Terrence Hill made a few of them. Henry Fonda appeared in a few of them. So there's a lot of them out there. It's just a matter of checking them out. And don't go for the DVDs at Half Price Books that are, you know, 15 films on 5 discs. It's very, very cheap. Very inexpensive, so. But you get a good starting point
noted.
There.
Okay. I'm going to watch him.
My man. All right. All right. Can't wait for this. And then we have to make fun of Colleen Eudes because she has The Good, Mad, the Ugly and hasn't even come close to watching it. So, ladies and gentlemen, this week's first installment of What is Kobe Watching?
Woo!
And this week, it's Spaghetti Westerns. I had a couple people on Facebook suggest film noir. So maybe when we'll get to
the next thing.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm not telling you. So next week's show, Mr. Slagle,
we're gonna
need a report.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
All right. Lisa Trifone, How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing just swell. It's a lot of fun. Now I know you've recovered and have they? What do you do? I mean, how much downtime do you have before you start worrying about next year's IIFF?
None. Is that an okay answer?
Honest answer is fine. You know, they're listening.
Well, you know, here's
hi
the
Kelly.
Thing.
Hi Don.
No,
Dorothy.
No, they'll all agree. Here's the thing that. You know, one festival wraps and we start looking at the numbers and the response and what are we doing different next year and how are we going to make it bigger and better and just keep growing. And
well, let's start. How did it go number-wise?
It went wonderfully. We have not gotten necessarily all of the numbers, you know, solidified. They haven't handed them to us in a sealed envelope like they do at the Academy Awards or anything just yet. But
Simon and Schuster or
but,
one of those
right,
groups,
whatever
those,
they are.
Yeah, one of those firms.
They count stuff.
Yeah, they count
they
stuff.
They count stuff.
Stuff counters.
So, but generally speaking, I think just insanely impressed with the reception and the response of the Indianapolis and, you know, Central Indiana community. Full houses and great Q&As and packed panels. I know you helped out on panels and
I did.
Had some presence at the festival. So just another great year. And, you know, it wrapped our seventh year. So we're moving full steam ahead and starting to think about things like what's our 10th festival going to look like. You know, we've got big plans.
The Room. I think you can, the Tommy Wiseau.
Yes.
I keep hearing about this one.
We'll,
man, I cannot agree anymore.
I know. We'll talk about that much, much later. Not on the show. No, I really enjoyed having it at the IMA.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it was really cool. The two screens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you were done with the movie, you could, at times, I know, you could at least look around a little bit.
Well, sure. Or if, you know, you saw an early show when we're waiting and then to go see a late show, you could either grab dinner, check out the collection. You mm-hmm. didn't have to leave if you wanted to catch a couple of movies.
Exactly. I'm hoping on a future show, the gentleman who created Ball Hawks we'll
sure,
have on.
Mike.
About this was a fun documentary. We saw this.
Yes,
the guys who hang outside Wrigley Field
yeah.
and try to catch baseballs.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Everybody's got a story to tell, and I kind of like that.
It won our best documentary at the festival.
It did. It did.
It hit a nerve.
Congratulations.
That was a really great time. He and his family came down for their screening that weekend and just stuck around for a closing night when we do all of our awards presentations. So
yep.
to be able to say this is, you know, the best documentary winner, best matter-of-fact film, feature film is Ball Hawks, and to see the look on his face when
that
he heard
cool.
that was the title. That was pretty fun.
It was. And then the Wayman Tisdale story. I was thinking of you guys because I found a Wayman Tisdale album at a certain half-price books. but I found that today, and
that's
that was
great.
Just it was a very touching documentary about the former NBA star turned smooth jazz musician who passed early this year. Left-handed. That's right.
Yeah.
So Tiz was quite a story. So yeah, it was a really cool lineup. Do you already know what might be different for next year, or what might be not necessarily improve but change?
You know, I think that one of the really great things that we did this year, we were able to just plug in a few wires and Skype in some filmmakers for Q&As. So we had Chris D'Arienzo with Barry Monday, writer-director Barry Monday. He was there at opening night via Skype.
And that was the top winner this year? Was that the – no.
That was our opening night.
That was the opening night. Sorry,
yeah.
sorry,
Our
sorry.
Grand jury winner was a film called A Little Help.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Michael Whitehorn and a couple of the producers came in for that film, the one with Jenna Fischer in it.
That's right, yes.
Our top.
There was a lot of Stella flowing that night, so I'm
yeah, we love our Stella at the festival.
Yes, we do.
But yeah, so I think that we'll probably buffer in a little bit more time between screenings to accommodate, you know, if it's that easy, it's a matter of just getting on their schedule, making sure they're available for a phone call, and then we can pipe them in for some 21st century Q&A.
Very good.
So I'd love to see more stuff like that.
Okay, and the site's still up, so
yes,
looking for volunteers
still go
or
and see, you know, what was this year? And absolutely, if you loved this year and want to help out, we are already building committees for pre-planning and getting ahead of the game. And, you know, somebody asked me the same question about having some downtime, and I said, well, we've got to start looking for submissions in October. And it's almost September.
It is.
So
it is. So if
not
anyone,
a lot of downtime.
And yeah, then go onto the website for information about submitting
yeah.
and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, we'll keep all that stuff updated. Absolutely.
Okay.
And indiefilmfest.org.
That's right. Now, you've actually seen some films that were not work related. What have you seen recently?
So it was a big deal once the festival ended to sort of decide, okay, I'm going to go to the theater. I hadn't been to the theater to you know, choose this is the movie that I want to see.
So you saw The Expendables.
So, you know, when you're going to pick a movie,
yes.
I actually, this last month, I made it a point to go see The Kids Are All Right.
Not the Who documentary. This is the
Sundance.
Another film involving sperm donation, by the way, folks. And this is actually the superior of the two.
For sure. This is a well done, talk about a film with depth and a film with, you know, the subplots and things like that. And then I also made it a point to go catch Winter's Bone that finally hit
the indeed. Really, really well done. I call it Ozark Noir.
Absolutely stunning.
Hopefully folks will remember Jennifer Lawrence at the end of the year.
Oh,
that is a solid performance.
You know, and I think it'll be, I feel like she'll be the Melissa Leo of this year.
That's exactly who I was thinking of.
I think that she'll be
Melissa Leo could have been in this film if they didn't hire locals.
Right. But yeah, so those are, you know, it hasn't been much, but I'd like to think that the couple films that I've chosen to shell out $10 for post-festival were two that were worth it.
Because it's all about box office dollars.
Right.
What I really enjoyed was in The Kids Are All Right is the chemistry between Julianne Moore and Annette Bening. I mean,
seasoned
pros.
I mean, when you've got a film like that depends on, what is that, roughly five people as a cast?
Yep.
Maybe six if you count his hostess girlfriend.
Right.
Just stellar. And you could tell that there was a conversation had before they sit down at dinner where, I'm going to space on her name.
That's okay.
Director, just sort of said, you're a family at dinner. And the rapport, you know, that's where the depth comes from, to be able to say, there's no scripting here. Let's write conversation at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, let's sit you around a table.
You know, then
work your way towards your lines.
Yeah, I have a name dropping now, but a friend of mine on Facebook, Iron Chef Kat Cora,
she's really only name dropping if you know the Iron Chefs, and I don't.
Well, she sent me a note once, but no, she put a ban. No, it's interesting because, and I haven't asked her about it yet, but because I want her on the show. But no, she wanted to boycott Kids Are All Right because of what happens between the Mark Ruffalo character and the Julianne Moore character.
But you know, that's life.
Yeah, I mean, and to a certain degree, I understand what she's saying, because there's been a lot of films about same-sex couples that you think, especially when it's two women, that all you need is a guy and it'll just solve everything.
That's not what the film is about.
It's not. So I say that because that's what upset her, and of course she's boycotting the film without seeing it. But she also, at the same time, I think she was also upset because she and her partner were both pregnant at the same time.
Okay.
And the whole meeting the person. And that's kind of...
touched a nerve,
I think the switch would probably, hopefully, touch a nerve even harder, because
yeah.
It's the whole relationship between the donor, the Patrick Wilson
right.
character, and, you know, there's this whole anxiety over the actual donor
yeah.
of said ingredient seed. So... I don't know. But anyway, I love the fact that it's about a marriage between two people who've been together
Absolutely.
For a long time. And, you know, I've said before, a lot of films we've been seeing lately lead up to a marriage. We don't get to see it in full marriage mode. So really enjoyed that.
Right.
And it was nice to see Mark Ruffalo do his You Can Count on Me character again.
But
shaggier and a little looser.
Clothing.
No objection on your end. I can see that. That's fine.
Well, I'll do.
Now, if Mark Ruffalo was in Fool's Gold.
I will watch Mark Ruffalo in a Kleenex commercial.
You have.
So, you know.
Or 13 going on 30.
Right. So my own bit of name dropping, Josh Hutcherson.
Yes.
Is the young man in the film, the son.
Right.
So he was in a little known film that we already referenced actually today, The Journey to the Center of the Earth. And that's a film that, through my previous life, I was able to be part of a screening where because he's from Ohio originally.
Ah.
He goes to school in Ohio. And he was doing, you know, press and running around for that film, and came to a screening here in Indianapolis that we hosted, and got to talk to him. And at the time, I mean, this was probably 4 years ago. When did that film come out? Forever ago?
Yeah, I think so.
And just the sweetest kid, and so grateful, and so well-spoken. And to see him on screen, again, the casting all around. I totally agree with you with the chemistry between the two leads, but those kids are on their way up, too.
Cool.
I really think so.
Another life. What are you, Shirley MacLaine? Sorry.
Is it my turn to name drop now?
Oh, you're going to
name drop? Do you have
drop?
A story?
Do you have a story? Go for it.
It better be good after
no,
those
I,
two.
I don't have.
You got to work on
work
that,
on
sir.
It.
I know Laura Steele.
Well, so do I. I'm sorry, man. But you worked with her. You were well. I worked with her in different ways. No, 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 not that.
No.
She loves my show. She
See
loves
what
my
just
work.
Happened there? See what just happened there?
Yeah, I know. I shot myself in the foot verbally. That's quite hard. No, you did a documentary with her, right?
Yeah, I did a
little profile
for a project for school.
Ah.
And I interned with her and stuff like last summer.
I know.
Yeah.
I tried to have her be Emma's nanny, but she turned me down.
Oh.
It's okay. That's quite all right. So, really like Kids Are All Right. I think it's still in theaters. Winter's Bone, definitely go see it.
Definitely
still around.
Definitely go see Winter's Bone.
Now, you...
I just closed something.
You did. You're going to see something tonight. What do you see? Because you haven't seen a Nicholas Sparks movie.
I have not.
But yet you're gonna go see...
Eat, Pray, Love.
Did you read... Have you... Wow.
That got a reaction.
Kobe, one of film 101 guy over here. Just I think he just burped. You
no,
also want to go?
Yeah.
I know you also want to go globetrotting with Javier Bardem and Richard Jenkins. There's nothing wrong with that.
James Franco.
Oh
please.
Yes,
James
that's
Franco.
True. Now, have you read this?
Yes.
Ah,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, right. What's that?
That's different.
That's different. So that gains me a little bit of cred for wanting
I think
to see
so.
It.
I think
well,
so.
That and being involved with a film festival gives
yeah.
you some cred.
Yeah, you're right. See. Wow.
No, okay. No, because I definitely think that there's a crowd who are going to go see it and expect the Switch or
Fool's
it?
Gold?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
That's okay.
No, you have seen it. That was just a cover up. Oh, I haven't seen it.
And I think that, I think, you know, I'm going to go see it with a girlfriend of mine, and we've both read the book, and I will say... I haven't read, she's written a follow-up, you know, once she fell in love, then she wrote a book called Committed about this new marriage and all this kind of stuff, and I'm not as interested in that one, but
okay.
It's a phenomenal story, you know. Yes, it's first world problems, and it's sort of this elitism of...
going to pretty places,
you know,
and doing...
they conveniently leave out the fact that she got a huge advance for the memoir she was going to write so she could go live in these three different countries for a year, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of looking forward to this
okay,
one.
Okay. Well,
it's
I mean,
a good girl date, you
if,
know?
Yeah. If Julia does her Julia thing, which is what she's.
Which is what I've heard.
Which
she
is
just
what
shines.
She does. And, you know, anytime Richard Jenkins, somebody who looks like Richard Jenkins had a shot at Julia Roberts, that's not a bad thing. I enjoy that a great deal. And
well,
yes,
you might have your characters mixed up because that's never anything.
Okay. No, that's fine. I stand corrected. See, I haven't read it or seen it. And of course, there's Javier Bardem with better hair.
Much better hair.
He's not going to live it down. He's just been immortalized in
right.
a great performance.
There will always be a reference to Javier Bardem and then the hair.
Yeah, that's
there
true.
There will always be. So, yes, I'm looking forward to it. And I expect that having read the book, it'll be an okay one.
Are you going to nitpick? Or are you going to have a notebook? See, that's not in
no,
here. That's not in
that's,
there. Okay, that's good.
No.
I learned it. I did that in the mid-90s, and I have other things to do.
It's its own art. You
I
know.
Did. No, I'll talk about it another time. Hey, one other note. It's apparently going to be a combination of a concert and Inside the Actor's Studio. Jeff Daniels is going to be at Radio Wednesday evening. And I've heard him perform on another station that Laura Steele hangs out at. But he's done some – it's good. I mean, he's got some acoustic kind
and
of singer-songwriter.
It's his second disc. Like,
yeah.
He's not new to this.
Oh, by the way, this show, I own a Jeff Bridges album before Crazy Heart. So – which I have played on this for. There's an odd thing. It's not Golden Throats. It's not Leonard Nimoy or Burt Reynolds singing, although I do own those as well. Maybe I'll inflict them on my audience.
The things you admit.
Oh, I have scar tissue on my soul. I open up my scar tissue filled soul for the show. You know that. In all sorts of odd, weird ways. So anyway, he's at Radio on Wednesday. Maybe we'll take a micro recorder and he can record. We can get a. What did Jim say? Get out of my way. Next week, I know, is, I think, finally, the Rob Reiner film Flipped, which got the Heartland Truly Moving Pictures seal of approval. So we'll get to talk about that. And I can talk a little bit more about and name drop more because I was on the red carpet. But Lisa, thank you so much for sitting
thank
in.
Thank you for having me. I always love the invitation.
And enjoy eating and praying and loving. And
always.
And yes, we will organize a room screening very, very
yes,
soon and report on that very soon. So Kobe, Mr. Slagle, you have lots of films to watch in the next week or so.
That's right.
So get at it. And let's get some closing words for everybody. These are words to live by.
Silent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
That's right. So, until next time, go see a good movie. You deserve it. I'm Matthew Soucy. Hope to see you at Fringe, and you can listen to the Blues House Party tomorrow night at 10 on WFYI, 90.1 FM, and WFYI.org. You're listening to Film
From
Sociology.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Fresh Air. I'm David Biancooley, in for Terry Gross. On today's Fresh Air, John Mellencamp talks about his life and music and performs some songs for us. He had hits in the 1980s, like Jack and Diane and Small Town. His song, This Is Our Country, became famous when it was used in a Chevy ad. Mellencamp wrote some great songs about mortality on a recent CD, and he recorded his new CD, No Better Than This, on vintage equipment with one microphone. Also, rock critic Ken Tucker reviews the new CD by country music singer Marty Stewart, an album which is a throwback to old-fashioned country music from the 50s and 60s. That's all coming up on Fresh Air.